and then happened 800 years ago that you could see it. And then it was supposed to have happened Christmas, the original one. The Christmas star that forms.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have a high-powered telescope to look at it with. Half the time when there's supposed to be something exciting going on, you know, up in the sky, we have a marine layer rolled in, so we can't see anything other than fog. How about if you get down? Oh, no, don't jump on your brother. There you go.
So, Allison, are you there?
She was on a phone, so.
Oh.
We're the only ones with pictures or video.
Hi, Frank.
I'm clicking mute and unmute buttons today and missing.
Well, we can hear you.
Yes, well, you couldn't the first two times I said hi.
Right.
I was on a Zoom call this morning and my phone rang and I thought I clicked mute and I answered the phone. And then when I got off the phone, I went to click unmute and it said mute. And I said, oh, they've been listening to me this whole time. Oh, well. They had to forgive me. I'm the host for that one. What have we been talking about the last couple of weeks that I have not been attending?
Nothing much, just stuff. Whatever's okay. On your mind. Sharon McAllister emailed me last night. She's going to try to join the second half hour. So if anybody... Well, I'll ask this again later, but if anybody has questions about using Eventme, she's the biggest proponent for it. Erica.
Hello, Erica.
Hi, happy Monday.
Yeah. Did you hear what I was just saying, Erica?
No.
Sharon McAllister emailed me last night. She's going to try to join the sometime during the second half hour. So if you have any questions about using Eventme, she's big on that.
Okay, excellent. I actually may have to pop off in that time frame, but thank you for letting me know.
Yeah, she's the director of Fort Myers.
Okay, excellent. Is she the one that was on doing Mark Loeb's calls for a while?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Larry, where's Allison? Oh my gosh.
She was just here.
She was here, and then her picture popped off, and then she was gone.
She'll be back. So we have all these people that are muted. Does anybody want to say something?
Yes, no cameras, no microphones.
Right.
I'll say something. My name is Chris. I'm right now in Clinton, Iowa. I also live in Menominee, Wisconsin. And I saw your link on Art Fair Insiders.
Right.
And I thought it might be an interesting thing to participate in. So that's why I'm here.
And it is interesting because it's an open discussion on whatever you want to talk about as far as selling or art shows or anything like that.
Okay.
There's Allison.
Yeah, I had the reboot. I don't know why Zoom messes up the freezes and then you can't stop it.
Well, there's Allison's booth, but no Allison.
Right.
Oh, yeah, where am I?
It's a beautiful booth shot, Allison.
There you are. Yay!
Here's a question for the group. I was asking Allison before about her printer, and she said she uses the Epson brand, and I currently have a Canon, and I'm in the market to get a large scale printer so that I could print, maybe 40 inches, like really large scale. I wondered if anyone had a preferred, first of all, just brands that they prefer.
I prefer Epson, and I've found that most photographers prefer Epson, although I've heard Canon is coming out with some nice things. I don't know. I can't tell you a model number because my model has been discontinued, and it doesn't go to 40 inches, but they have some big ones.
Yeah. Also, you should look and see which inks they use.
Pigment ink.
Okay, as in some of them won't use like archival ink?
Right. Some of them use dye ink, and it's not as archival as pigment.
Okay, so I need to specifically look for it to say pigmented ink.
Yes.
Okay, cool. And at Red River Paper, Allison, again, your suggestion, I went on their website, and so I was trying to look for archival paper, and I got a little, I guess, lost in shuffle of offerings.
I use the Aurora Art White, and they have an Aurora Art Natural if you prefer that. They will send you a sample, but they have a section called fine art papers.
Okay, and so pretty much what's in the fine art paper section will be the type of archival paper I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Okay. Phew. Thank you.
Yeah, Chris, what's your medium?
I work in it's a mixed media. Basically, what I do is I transfer inkjet images to canvas, and then I use acrylic paints to enhance and expand them.
So, and you find mixed media?
Pardon?
Mixed media is your category.
I use mixed media as the closest that I can get to it. It's photography, but it's not. And it's acrylic painting, but it's not. It's kind of in between. I operate by the name of Mr. Camera. So I have a Facebook, which is kind of old, but I have a Mr. Camera Imaging is my website, so you can get kind of a sense. It's got a lot of just images up there that I specialized in early But then I switched over to Canvas. I regularly sell in the St. Paul area. I've done shows down in Kansas, in Iowa, and a few places in Wisconsin as well, but primarily in the Twin Cities. There are several really good shows, big ones, or at least there were until this past year. But the St. Paul Art Cooperative that I belong to has done some virtual shows, but it lacks something, you know. Obviously, I do like talking to people and standing in the booth. And so when I happened upon the link to your operation, I thought, you know, I could learn something here. Let's give you a try. So
I had luck with virtual shows back in the beginning, and they were kind of like, now there's so many going on that I don't think they're exciting anymore to customers.
Allison, this is Joyce. How are you?
Good.
Your microphone is very quiet. I can hardly make out what you're saying.
Yeah, I had to put my volume up.
That better?
Yeah. Not much.
Two different microphones, and I can't remember which one works better.
It's still kind of very low, muffled.
How about that?
Not great.
Okay. Can you get closer to the mic?
I don't know where the mic is.
That's better, though.
I have volume. I've got this fancy gaming computer that I bought. Zoom meeting is using your microphone. Wonderful. Tell me about it.
There. You're sounding better now.
Okay.
I could always hear you in previous meetings, but it's just real difficult today.
It switches sometimes. I was in a meeting the other day, and they're like, we can hardly hear you, and I realized it had gone to the other microphone. I got this fancy gaming computer because it was fast, so it's like two different, you know, there's the add-on microphone that came, I guess, with the camera, or there's the in camera, or in computer microphone, which doesn't seem to work very well.
I emailed Larry. I attended a Zoom meeting on editing pictures on your cell phone camera, and it's an app called Lightroom app. Anyway, they went into they had a great amount of things that you could do to fix the photos that, you know, with that app, but it was a little bit over my head. And has anybody else used Lightroom?
Well, I do.
Oh.
But not on a phone. I use computers. Lightroom in conjunction with Photoshop are some of my main tools to make the base images that I then alter.
Well, I didn't. It didn't go to my brain real easy, so I just
neither one of them. Yeah, neither one of those programs are actually very intuitive. You do have to sort of learn them. There are some other editing software programs that aren't as powerful, but you could tell just from the icons what they do. You know, but once you master them. Most people find Lightroom to be very powerful and very, very nice to use, fun to use.
I still refuse the red software, so I'm using the Nikon View, Nikon Capture, and
yeah.
Photoshop, my old I have CS6, but I'm sure Annie got some.
Yeah, I have the Nikon app as well, but since I shoot everything in RAW, and then I pull it right into Lightroom and go from there, but I do have the Nikon version of the software too. I just don't use it.
I still haven't figured out how to get my photos off my phone. I try emailing them to myself and everything except the picture got to my email, so might be the security thing on my
Does it ask you, I mean, I think you have to have access to your camera from your email or something like that, but
I don't know, it just won't. I could get other people's photos that they emailed me.
What if you just connect your phone through the USB port on your computer?
My son switched us over to a solid state, and there's another thing plugged into it that has USB ports, but that didn't seem to work. He said something about the type of USB port it is.
Have you seen the original email that you sent?
Yeah, there was no photo with it.
How many photos are you trying to email at one time?
I was just trying to do one just to see if I could do it. So,
because I know sometimes mine show up in the sent folder, but it's the entire email.
Yeah, well, I got the email, but not the photo that was supposed to be with it. So when if I can think about it or remember when my son actually is around, say, hey, how does this work?
Well, I can think of two possible reasons for it. One, you didn't actually get it on through the email as an attachment, which is probably the most likely. But there's a second possibility too, and that is your email program, whatever program you're using, they generally have size restrictions. And so if your picture was really, really big, in some cases, you know, 15, 20 megabytes, then it might not take it.
That's possible too. But I don't know. I'll have to have somebody who does this type of thing hold my camera or my phone.
Emailing it to somebody else.
Huh?
Try emailing it to somebody else that you know and see if they get it.
Well, yeah, I could try that too, I guess.
When you plug your phone, it's an iPhone?
No.
Oh, okay.
Android.
See, I have an iPhone and I just use AirDrop to get them to my MacBook. But I don't know if Androids work the same way.
Well, I don't know either.
But it's so easy with an iPhone and a Mac. It just goes through the ether space, no cables or anything.
I've got an iPhone, but a PC.
You just use your standard iPhone cable and plug it into the PC and the images download, no problem.
I've never tried that. I've always emailed them to myself.
Right, it opens up like a hard drive.
What's your email service? What email do you use?
Me?
Yeah, is it Gmail?
AOL.
Now that's a problem. You may want to try switching for your business account to Gmail, which is much more user-friendly. In addition, you might be able to use on Chrome, go upload your stuff to the Google Cloud and bring it back down. Or you upload it to Dropbox and bring it back down. But AOL is ancient.
I know. We've been on it since it was a paid service.
Yeah, well, people don't drive Model Ts anymore.
Well, I would if I had one. My mother had one. She had a Model A.
Email is free.
Yeah, I know.
And now I pay $6 a month for a separate Gmail account that's a business account.
Yeah, I use Gmail on most of my stuff. Some of my stuff, I have about 5 email accounts. And for large things that we do with group I'm with, we use Gmail extensively, as well as the Google Drive. It helps move large documents up and down.
Another thing I noticed with Gmail, though, is if I mail myself a picture, it ends up in the body of the email. But you can right-click on it, I think right-click on it and say Save As, and that will save it. Took me a while to figure that out.
Sometimes AOL puts it in the body of it, and sometimes it just keeps it as an attachment. So I don't know why it does it one way one time and another way the other time.
A good cheap test is to get yourself a free Gmail account and try that.
I had one for a while and I got so much spam, it wasn't funny.
Oh, God. Yeah, I go into my email every day and just click
and
shift and delete entire bunches of it. But if you're only using it for loading pictures, then you can just create a Gmail account until they find you.
Yeah. I think I tried Hotmail one time, and that was the same thing. And, well, that was way back. So
I switched from Hotmail to Gmail because Hotmail, I don't know, they changed their format or something, and it was like...
It was more that it was like, you know, 99 spam mails and one that maybe was something I wanted to see. So.
Well, the Gmail spam filter does a pretty good job of taking out most of the worst stuff. I certainly get lots of stuff I don't want anyway, but.
Yeah, well. I get that on AOL. I mean, right now that it seems to be at a semi-lull, but about a week ago, it was like, you know, 200 emails. Please donate. Please help.
I was hoping once the election was over, that would stop. But now we've got the Georgia thing, and they're asking me.
Yeah, I'm getting those. And, you know, a couple of them I unsubscribe, and they say, "What? Well, why are you unsubscribing? I'm not a Georgia resident."
Oh, yeah.
It's not like, hey, I'm not voting there. I've got enough trouble with our governor and all. He's in quarantine again. So. And we have a judge here in San Diego that said don't enforce the restrictions on restaurants. Because if strip clubs can be open, why can't restaurants? So now people are going, well, what do we do? And San Diego's okay, but because we're tied with LA as far as COVID districts or whatever, we're on the highest restrictions still. They said there's no ICU beds available in Southern California. There are here in San Diego, though, but it's below a certain number, so. But LA is sending patients all over the place because they absolutely do not have anything.
Well, it looks like some of you guys are in studios, or at least you've got studio-like backdrops.
Green screen.
Is that what they are, screens?
Yeah.
Green screens?
I've set this up in my house. Oh.
Mine's a photo of my booth, which is also set up in the corner of my family room, but it's a photo here.
Uh-huh. Well, I tried to do that, but they kind of bleed through the green screen. Do you have something behind you then?
Well, the green screen.
Yeah, I have a green screen, so you can see my chair behind me.
Yeah.
Pretty well, but if I move away, you can, well, not if I take the chair with me.
For whatever reason, Allison, it's working really well today. You know, it's when you don't want it to, when you want it to be bad, it works fine. When you don't want it to be bad, it doesn't work fine. I was in a thing with a, it was a whiskey tasting, and man would pick up his whiskey glass and parts of it would disappear into the background. It was a very interesting phenomenon.
Right now, my arm will, because it's green like the background.
That's not the the Rotary whiskey group, is it?
No, this was this was a private tasting.
Oh, okay.
it was two subsidiaries of Moët Hennessy. So one was Woodinville Whiskey, and the other one was a Scotch distillery in northern Scotland. I learned a lot about Scotch that night.
Cool. Yeah, I'm a member of the Rotary Fellowship Group, which is the whiskey group. Also a beer one, too, because I like to brew beer, actually ale, mostly ale. But the whiskey, I've tried a little bit, and it's kind of fun to do, too.
Well, this was Glenmorangie Scotch and Woodinville Whiskey.
Oh, wow. Very cool.
I'm the webmaster for a company that's called Gourmet Expos. And, of course, there have been no Gourmet Expos since last year, because the first one this year was going to be in Chicago right when the shutdown was going to happen. So I suggested we try some online things. And the person who runs it has an overcomplicated mind. He couldn't do something as simple as a wine tasting or have, you know, little, little tiny bottles so that we could do five whiskeys for, you know, a few bucks. No, he had to be selling full bottles and $150 events. So that was the most successful one. There were six attendees. And so there were very personable people who were talking about their companies. So one was a Kentuckian living and working for a distiller in Washington State doing bourbon and rye. And then there was this Scott living in Chicago promoting this very esoteric single malt scotch. And I wasn't going to spring for the $150 to get the three bottles, since I've got a liquor cabinet full of undrunk liquor that I inherited from my father, who's been gone for quite a few years. I don't drink much. I cook with it, but anyway, I did actually open a bottle of scotch that I inherited and drank it as following his instructions and learned a little bit.
That's nice.
I like watered down scotch. I never had tried it before.
Yeah.
It's a really flavor.
Yeah, it helps bring the flavor out. At least a little bit of ice that melts will bring out the flavor a bit.
Yeah. I've always drunk neat whiskey or hot cocktails. And the cocktails, you don't really taste the whiskey, depending on how strong the flavorings are. And if you just drink straight alcohol, you mostly get alcohol. So it's like, watering down, actually, there's actually flavor in there. It's kind of like wine. There's interesting things going on.
Well, one of the most successful conventions that I went through this year was, I'm a member of the National Stereoscopic Association, Stereo Photography, and go all over the world to various locations for that and the Stereoscopic Union, which is a European-based program. But we have an annual convention, and of course, this year they couldn't hold it. It was supposed to be in Portland. But they decided to go ahead with it anyway. And we usually get 700 or 800 people, and we had over 800 come to the virtual version. Ooh. And the virtual version turned out to be even better. There are a couple elements we missed, obviously. We would have excursions where we go out and shoot together at various setting locations. Couldn't do that, obviously. But when the best of shows and sharing your photographs, and the 3D images that was all possible, and everybody had a front row seat. Yeah. I mean, it really was something quite remarkable.
Well, my synagogue is getting triple the attendance of Friday night services that it did when it was live, including people who had moved away to Colorado and North Carolina from New Jersey who show up because it's just as convenient to attend from Colorado as it is from New Jersey now.
Yeah.
We're getting that kind of attendance at various things from one of our assistant ministers was in Japan because of father being sick, and she was on the call, and people who had moved away, like you said, you know, back east, and people from Hawaii in on the call. So it was like, oh, okay. Plus there were about three times as many people total as we usually would get for the classes.
So well, some things work online really well.
Yeah.
Hi, Sharon.
Okay. Hi, Larry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Frank.
It's all right.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I built a website recently for a woman in London, which I never could have imagined was doable prior to Zoom and prior really to the pandemic. You know, I've been on Zoom before, but I never thought of it as a working tool until this year. You know, it was fine for information, it was fine for discussions, but I'm actually, you know, teaching people how to build their own websites on Zoom lately.
Wow.
We share a screen and they make their mistakes, and I tell them how they're making mistakes, and hopefully they figure out how to correct them.
What platform are you using, Frank?
I like Weebly the best of the ones I'm exposed to. Shopify, I'm learning a little bit about because I'm doing a project with some people using it. And it seems very good and probably capable of doing some things Weebly can't. But for somebody who is simply an artist with 100 pieces of work to sell, Weebly works very well, and it's very easy to set up the e-commerce. The templates look professional. Using them well takes some sophistication, which most people who build their own websites for the first time really don't have a lot of perspective on what makes a good website. You know, it looks pretty to them and they think that's good enough, but you know, it's easy to confuse people. It's easy not to have good architecture and to have the right stuff on the right pages, and people get lost. And being a little bit sophisticated about the image shapes and how to keep them consistent and things like that. So I find that even people who are technically sophisticated can use some tutoring, but most of the clients that I'm helping with are not technically sophisticated. So it's a great deal of hand-holding on, this is how you do this thing. You try it, I'll watch you, I'll tell you when you're, you know, if you get stuck, I'll help you. And, you know, after a little while, they figure it out and they're comfortable and they feel very, very proud of themselves. And after 5-6 sessions, they're self-sufficient. And the deal mm-hmm. is, if they ever get stuck, they call me and I unfix, you know, I fix whatever problem they have. If that's in 6 months or a year, that's fine.
You do any website review, Frank?
Any what?
Website review, look at someone's website and say you need
yeah, to absolutely. That. You know, the business model until a couple years ago was build websites for people however they needed them, cheap or expensive. And Squarespace and Weebly and Wix and Shopify ate that market, basically. So the new business model is, anybody actually wants me to build them a site, I'm delighted. But in the meantime, I'll critique your website. I'll tell you how it can improve. I'll teach you how to do it yourself. I'll teach you how to think about the marketing aspects. If you're, I mean, with art, it's fairly straightforward. But if you're a software company doing a startup, and you know you need a website, but you don't know how much website you need. Most people are too ambitious with their websites if they're at the beginning. And then they're so traumatized by the time it's done that they never want to come back to it again. And so it's overkill in the beginning and it's underkill a year or two later. So
that's why artists have their five-year-old schedule on their website.
Yes.
We're 10 years old.
Yes. I see those and I say, can I call these people and tell them I can help them? And I'm always afraid to. I haven't done a cold call in years. It hurts so bad.
Yeah, you need somebody's name that they know as a recommendation.
Yep.
To do a cold call.
Yep. Restaurants these days, it really hurts. You see a really bad restaurant website and they're doing takeout. And there's this one deli that's 10 miles away from me, a friend of mine really likes, and I looked at the website. They tell you what they sell, but they don't tell you what they cost. There are no prices. There's no e-commerce. You have to call or fax in with the take what you want to buy. And the explanation of the process is bare minimum. So they're definitely leaving money on the table. You know, if they could just say corned beef sandwich, $7 or $9 or $12, people would pay them the $12 and come and get it. You know, so.
My pet peeve with restaurants' websites is they don't have PDF menus you can print out.
Ooh, right.
Too many pages with pictures that don't print out.
I'll remember that if I ever get a chance to help a restaurant, that they should have both.
We ordered Popeyes, and the Popeyes website is infuriating. I mean, you can figure it out, but... No, normally if you go into Popeyes, you can say, I want 8 pieces and I want 4 legs and 4 thighs, but there's nowhere to put that.
Well, that's a shame. But, you know, the little mom and pops who are the ones that are really getting slammed.
Here, most of them go through like Grubhub or one of, you know,
sure, but then they pay Grubhub a fortune in delivery fees, or the people buying paid Grubhub a fortune in delivery fees.
And the driver eats your dinner on the way over.
There's also what it's called menu or whatever, but I guess they have to tell them what's on the menu, and you could eat, you have the choice of pickup or delivery. But
so,
I'm sure they charge a percentage of it anyway for that.
Oh, yeah. We live in the boonies, so Grubhub is not an option.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, there are these little restaurants that for $500, I could get them in much better shape. I wouldn't be making much money, but, you know, I would prefer to charge them more, but given the circumstances, I wouldn't. And it's like, yeah, well, in a year when the pandemic's over, you can pay me a little more.
Or free meals.
A couple free meals, yeah.
Yeah.
I had a haircut a week ago, and the woman who owns the shop doesn't have a website. And, right now she really could use one to say, I'm open, here are the hours, schedule an appointment. Just doesn't think she can afford it.
Has anybody had any success doing Zoom with customers?
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about, because I have on my website, you know, call me and we can Zoom and pick out some pictures, or I'll help you pick out a grouping, but nobody's taken me up on that. I'm wondering if setting up a standard Zoom session like once a week would get anybody.
Do you have a mailing list, Allison?
Yeah.
I would do a standard Zoom thing, and I'd just send out a mass email. And if we'd had this conversation 2 months ago, I'd have said, do it, you know, in the end of November for Christmas.
I don't do a lot of, I mean, my stuff is expensive and it's personal.
Well, I understand, but it's a good excuse for sending out the email all the same.
That's true.
So you could do one in January as a post-Christmas.
Yeah, spend your Christmas money with me. Spend your stimulus payment with me.
Yeah. You can imply it without saying it.
Well, here that's not even a rent payment. Most rents, I think, start at $1,700 a month for a studio with no parking and no amenities and less than delightful area of town. So I think around my neighborhood, $2,300 is about average for a studio.
Whew.
Yeah. So
that's the advantage of living in the boonies.
Yeah. Well, my mother just moved to Idaho, and she was, saying something about, the COVID restrictions and, this and that and that. I said, well, Mom, your whole state has fewer people than San Diego County. California is the highest population, in the nation as far as things go. But
true. New Jersey, I'm told, at least 20 years ago, was the most densely populated of the states.
Well, yeah, California's not dense all the way all over the place, except for San Francisco. But, the number of people in the state is still the highest.
Oh, well, yes, by far.
Well, we've got Northern Virginia, which is very dense. But then you go down to Central Virginia, Southwest Virginia, and you're in the country.
Well, our Central Valley isn't all that dense. I mean, that's the red part of the state. It's the coastal cities that are blue. And it's
San Francisco is really only halfway between the north and the south of the state, and you go a couple hundred miles north of San Francisco, and it's pretty empty.
Yeah. Northern California, Central California, down here in Southern California, the eastern part is like empty. That's desert. Mojave Desert is out there, so there's not that many people. But hugging the coast, it's almost from San Francisco to San Diego, solid city. There's few, links of highway that's not built up. But when I was little, we used to drive from LA to San Diego, and we'd go through farmland, strawberry fields, orange groves, avocado groves. That's all city now. We used to be able to.
Some of the greatest farmland in the world is now under concrete.
Yeah.
Well, Frank, I think your idea for Allison, and I think I'd maybe be willing to try it too, of having a Zoom to, if you've got the list, then you've already got a group of people that are predisposed to liking your images, your wall art. And so if you can get to them for just a little bit of time, they might come and you make it sort of entertainment, but at the same time, the computer, especially if you put your images into something like PowerPoint, are very easy to show. You just put them on the screen and run right through, or you can just bring up your regular programs and show them.
Yeah, and, I sold them a grouping. They had two that they liked, but they couldn't figure out a third. And so I just brought up my screen and Photoshop and let's try this one, let's try that one, and put them together. And she picked one out.
You might want to
that's a great idea.
You might want to set up a calendar program with slots and put the link to that calendar program in the mass email so people can pick a time slot. You'll know that they'll be there. You show up, they show up.
I was thinking of just going on like once a week. I mean, I'm not doing much else. And just saying like Larry does, 2 o'clock on Mondays, you do, you know, 1 o'clock on Tuesdays and join me on a Zoom meeting.
Well, that's certainly worth a try and that'd be less trouble. But if 14 people showed up, it might be a little awkward for doing the kind of personal selling that you're talking about. Whereas if you had book 15 minutes and we'll go through as many pictures as you want, could be a very efficient way to sell.
You could do a combination of both. You mean? Once a month, maybe have a group setting, and then every week have individual sessions.
Set them up. Set them up if you want more. Set up an individual session.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Kind of like putting the booth up in my driveway.
Yeah.
It's going to cost you time, which is what we always spend when we go to shows, but you don't have to worry about the setup as much. I mean, there are going to be some computer setup, but after you've done it once or twice, you know, it sure would be a lot less strenuous than going to a show.
And those of you who are doing, you know, 2D images, you can do a really good representation on a screen. A jeweler would have a devil of a time showing a jewelry accurately.
Yeah. Well, you could use those GIF images now that simulated. So there are ways to go about throwing some 3D practicality and solid images as well. But
that takes some sophistication on the part of the jeweler.
Yeah,
you might be very, very good at metal and not very, very good at 3D images.
Yeah, it's much better to do it with wall art.
I wouldn't use GIF for anything that you're looking at, pictures of artwork. GIF only is 256 colors, mm-hmm. where JPEG is millions of colors.
Yep.
And actually, I think the experience that jewelers are having when I see people who are already doing Zooms and StreamYards showing and selling their work that way is that jewelers are doing an awesome job of it. They don't need to be able to show that 3D-ness in a modified image. They're putting it on and holding it up and playing with it and doing the same things they would do in the tent. And they're doing great at it, producing results. They're probably the most assertive ones I've seen is jewelers are really getting into that whole deal. And many of them have made great demos that show how they set jewelry and that detail when you get a camera right on top of their hands on their benches.
Good to hear.
Yeah, it's hard to demonstrate photography.
You know, yeah, probably. See, I just have to interject, right? Sorry. I think what people find interesting, though, is how you do that. How it's not just a picture, right? Like that I can use my phone because nobody uses a camera anymore, right, themselves. I mean, you probably do, but I mean, most of us use our phones. I can use my phone and I can take a picture. It will never look like the photography on your wall. You know, I have forever made the case when we jury that there's a whole bunch of picture takers who've applied and there's some photographers. And the difference is dramatic, right? Between a picture taker and a photographer. So I think people find it interesting that how come you shot those are bales of hay, right? And back there behind you in that photograph?
Yeah.
So why did you, why did you pick two bales of hay and then those others are behind it and the barn is over there on the right? How come you didn't just back up and take a wider angle picture, right? I mean, somebody could ask that, right?
Yeah, shows, well, I've been taking pictures of bales of hay forever because I live right near some farmland. And that is the one picture I've gotten. And I think the right thing I did was put that first bale of hay, and I could afford to it because.
Yeah, right. It's over there.
Yeah. The bale of hay on the far right side is a very close up.
Right.
But because I've taken others and they're far away. I mean, I come over the hill when I come home during hay baling time, and it's just miles and miles of it. And it's like, wow, that's beautiful, but I cannot capture it.
Right, exactly. And so people like to hear that story. And you probably tell that story when you're talking to people in your tent, that the reason it's like this and the sun shining on one side of it, and the reason I took the one above that has like the hazy look with the green tree, why? Right? Well, I don't know. Why did I take that? Well, because it has whatever your story is about it. And I think that's what people like to hear. And that applies whether you're a photographer or a painter. And I think there's some mystery to photography of how did you get that way? Right? I can't take that picture that gets the right color out of the trees. How did you do that? Now, you don't have to give away your secrets, right? I mean, not that, but just
I've gotten a few people that have looked, and I show them the original picture because all of these are digitally manipulated. So when I show them the original, they're like, wow, how did you see that?
Right. And why'd you choose to do the digital manipulation that you did? Mm-hmm. Right? Because you could have liked that pink tree that's behind you. Why is it pink instead of in purple? Or, you know, I don't know. What made you digitally enhance it? And, you know, why would you do that? And is that a good thing? I mean, it's all that kind of stuff is just good conversation.
I talk to people about it.
Right. It's exactly the same thing you do there, right? That you're in your booth and you talk about all that kind of stuff. And just the same way painters talk about why they use a palette knife instead of a brush or what kind of paint they use, you know? People love all that. They love that back behind the scenes stuff. So,
backstory.
But the backstory, right? Right. Anybody can take a picture, but not anybody can be a photographer. So.
Or everybody can be a photographer, and there's some that are great.
However you want to present that, right? And you all know that that's the case for photographers. So.
I recognize your name, Sharon. What show are you?
Art Fest Fort Myers in Fort Myers, Florida. We're in about 6 weeks, I guess. We're the first weekend in February.
Are you going ahead?
I believe so. I mean, all advice from we have a medical advisor from our hospital system, and all the guidance that we have now, yes. If people will help stay home at Christmas time, that would be very helpful. If we could have a lower surge at Christmas, would be awesome. So, but Florida's a pretty open state, you know? We have an interesting governor, so, you know.
I'll say that. There's a few of those.
Pardon me?
There's a few of those.
So, yeah. So that's our current plan.
Ours is in quarantine.
That and a really big online virtual show. So both.
You're using Eventme, right?
We are indeed. We're probably the champions of Eventme. And what a great system that is.
I haven't, well, the two shows I've done have been kind of low-key candles, soap, that kind of show.
Low-key what?
Like candles and soap, you know, not actually juried tightly. And I haven't done well, but it was interesting. I did it just so I could set up my Eventme site, and it looks beautiful.
Yeah. Do you know what in the show that you did? Do you know what kind of promotion the show did?
I know that the Greenbelt show did a lot of promotion, and the YMCA show, they did a lot of selling, but I don't think it was. It's more of a craft show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just like going to an in-person show. If it's not the right show for you, right? I mean, you don't do well when you're not with the right other people.
That is $25.
Yep. So.
Take a risk.
And good experience, so yeah.
So nobody's asking me about my background.
That is your original booth shot. I remember you sharing that once.
1978.
I'm just going to make one more comment, and I promise I'll be quiet, Larry. That people who are thinking about doing a on Greg Allison said an ongoing kind of series, broadcasting or Zooming on a regular basis. We just set up in our office. I'm not there right now. I'm at home. We actually set up one of our office spaces as a studio. The table that's in it is now holds the right computer. We have, what do you call those lights? Softbox lights. You know, the big wide lights that has soft shadow. We have softbox lights, whatever they're called. Numerous ring lights. The right kind of microphone for us, green screen, numerous kinds of backdrops, so that now we have studio space and we just walk in and do what we need to do. And so artists can do the same thing with their booth set up, or, and I don't know whether Allison's backdrop is real, or is that actually your booth, or is that a green screen?
That is my potential booth for shows. That's just, you know, that is an actual booth.
Yeah, and you must be on a green screen for it.
No, actually, it's working very well today.
It's working very well for not having a screen. But yes, if that's all set up, then you just walk in, you do your weekly Zoom meeting, and just
it's
a production.
It's a picture of Hunter.
Yeah, it looks great.
But yeah, we're a little tight on space here. I've got two of the three bedrooms and 1,600 square feet. And if you stay overnight, you're sleeping on the couch. Oh, there we go.
There, that changed it.
Ah. That looks much better, Larry.
Sharon, this Chris Nelson, I so enjoyed all the Zoom meetings you did earlier and help some together for the new art show mediums, but it got me thinking and trying to understand everything, and I really appreciate what you
did. You're welcome.
When will you have the virtual booths advertise the show so I can look at it?
They'll be opening to the public on January 29th. Because you're not, excuse me, I should know this information, you're not exhibiting with us?
I don't think she is.
I don't think so. So you think I would know that?
No, I ended up having emergency back surgery, so I couldn't plan ahead for that kind of thing in person.
Yeah. So Art Fest at Home will open.
I am getting better.
Art Fest at Home will open to the public on January 29th, and it'll be open until February 25th.
And then we just go to your.
You go to our regular website, Art Fest Fort Myers website.
Definitely be excited to see it.
Yep, and you click on Art Fest at Home, it'll be a great big graphic there, and you'll see it all. It's probably 12 pages, one of which is the marketplace for artists. There's also artist demos and decorating with art and a bunch of interviews and all kinds of stuff. It's really looks great.
I hope it's successful for the artists so they come back.
Yeah, we'll hope so, right? And we'll hope that the ones who were trying to make that not happen, we'll decide to stop that.
Well, as it looks now, my current show schedule is my first show is in September.
Wow.
I'll have a couple applications out, one's for June, so I'm hoping.
You're not coming to Florida for the in the winter?
I did. I need to do Florida again, but I did a couple of shows that were easy to do. And it was, and I also, I've lived in Florida for 10 years. So I brought out a lot of my older pictures because they were Florida pictures. And, you know, of the five pieces I sold, four of them were Northern. So I think, you know, it was an experiment. I retired in 2018 and decided, okay, now I can go to Florida. And it was a failure as far as sales, but I think I need to do different shows and keep my same work, not do any special work.
Yeah, I think it's a fallacy that people, painters and photographers both think that Florida shows sell Florida work. They tend to not sell well overall.
Yeah.
Most of us who live, particularly who live here, that's a past look for us, you know, maybe in the 80s, but not now. And most Florida shows have 30 to 40% of their attendees are visitors who tend to be here from the north. So.
Or snowbirds.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's, I mean, visitors and snowbirds, people who don't live here. Right.
Yeah, the one Florida picture I sold, they had me ship it to somewhere up north. I can't remember where. It was interesting. I learned a lot.
What did you mean when, excuse me, what did you mean when you said that those that are trying to not make it successful?
There's some forum chatter going on about negative comments about shows that are doing virtual work and things like that that are less than productive, in my opinion, right? Festival directors on them in general are quite dedicated to the success of artists. And so, yeah, that's what I meant.
Okay. Yeah.
Were they objecting to the, to what part? I mean, just having virtual shows instead of physical ones or what?
Yeah, a little bit that, but you know, not that that's an option at the moment in many places. I mean, you know, that's the choice at the moment. But also I think a little not seeing that there's always new technology, right? That there's new things that can happen. There's new ways to develop markets. There's, you know, back in the day, there wasn't email. Some of us are old enough to remember that, right? There wasn't newsletters. And worst of all, there wasn't Zap. I mean, that was just like the worst thing that ever happened to anybody was that we should have to do digital imaging, digital jurying. Turned out that worked out pretty well. But just that thinking there's new technology, there's things we could do, there's new ways of looking at things, not to say that any of that is better than in person. I mean, I love in person. I can't wait, you know, but there's new technologies, new things to do, new things to learn. And it won't all be perfect on day one. So, but.
That's their main thing is that it's new and therefore they don't like it or.
Yeah, some. Yeah. Okay. And it's not free.
Yeah. Well, neither are the in-person ones.
No, I'm thinking that if one did the math to figure out the percentage, right, if you did it on a percentage basis, what it costs you to be at a show compared to what you sell, well, it varies largely, but greatly by artist, but it's not free, whatever that is, it's not free. So.
Yeah, at the beginning of the pandemic, I was actually, but my expenses were down, my gross sales were down 75% and my net profit was up 50% from last year because I wasn't spending all those
dues. Right. Right. So if you could have some of the Zoom calls you're talking about, right, and you sold one, I mean,
yeah.
Right, the profit margin is great for you because you didn't have to go anywhere and you could spend your time doing your artwork instead. And I don't want that to discourage people from doing in-person shows because, I mean, they're wonderful. But
I sell a lot better than in-person shows.
Yeah, for sure.
I miss talking to people.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure true. So
if I can get them on the screen with me, I can sell them something. But
yep, yep. Keys to get to talk to them and show them and tell them how come you did the bale of hay that way, right?
You know, you could actually do a video of you taking an initial image and turning it into a work of art, Allison. That could be very interesting.
Well, I don't want to do, like, I'll show people my originals, I'll show the finals. I don't want to give up my secrets of that.
Well, but your eye is your own and your taste is your own and your process is your own, and the fact that somebody else sees it isn't going to enable them to do what you do, especially if they only see one. You know, I'm sure if you were in Picasso's studio, you'd be completely fascinated and walk out no more capable than you walked in.
You don't think it's true, but you can do that, huh? Well, most people walk by your booth and say, I can do that? Yeah, probably not.
Oh, I get that. Or my grandmother used to do that for me.
Right.
Oh, my auntie doesn't charge me anything.
Mm-hmm.
She's been cell phones wanting to show me pictures. I did get one guy in Tennessee who showed me some awesome pictures on his cell phone. I said, you should do shows. But that was the only one out of how many.
Right.
Well, this has been a very, especially the second half hour, has been very amusing and interesting. But I think I have to push off. I'll see you all, at least some of you, next week.
My mother-in-law is busy, so you might get her too.
But Allison, if you would like me to do a review of your website at any point, if you have my email address, just send me an email and we'll set something up.
I don't think I have your email address.
No, I'll put it in the chat.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You guys ever talk about tips on jurying, how we could get our more of our images into shows, things like that? I was kind of hoping there'd be some discussion, and Larry, I was kind of hoping that you'd be helping us a bit with discoveries.
Yes, I'm willing to answer any questions.
Okay.
And I've spent hours talking about booth design.
Sure. Well, this is the first time I just happened to discover it on, you know, the Art Fair Insider.
Write down a list of questions and bring them to next Monday's meeting.
Okay.
I want to ask Sharon a quick question. Notice how my booth is, it's got that wall out the front. Is it better to do a booth shot for jurying of just three walls?
So I don't know whether Larry and I agree on this answer or not, because he has plenty of opinions about booth sides. I think your booth is beautiful, just like that. If you were going to jury with us, that is the perfect image.
Yeah, and you're not cutting anything off, which is where a lot of people fall into that trap with that French wall in the front.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a beautiful booth image. I mean, it's beautifully balanced and looks like, I'm assuming it looks like you would at a show, and that I think is gorgeous.
Well, thank you.
But in general, okay, here, you want the jurors to spend as little time as possible looking at your booth picture. So that means keep it as simple as possible with no distractions. And that way they could spend their time evaluating your individual images that you're actually being juried on.
Exactly, right? Because it shouldn't be distracting. It shouldn't be like I'm looking at this really nice artwork and then what's going on over here in this booth? They shouldn't have that reaction. It should just be smooth, like, oh, this is beautiful artwork. Oh, still beautiful artwork. Next artist. Right? No distractions coming from the booth.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right.
I gotta go, guys. I'll see you next week.
and I have to go feed my dogs. Thanks for coming, everybody.
Okay.
Thanks, Sharon.
Bye, Larry.
Bye.
Bye.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey, Allison.
Yes.
I followed you on Insta, so I'll see you online.
Cool. I need to get more pictures up there. I've got some new ones now. We had an ice storm, which was really lousy because we lost power, but it made some beautiful stuff.
Oh, they're still going.
Well, happy photo walk then if you get out in the snow.
All right.
Bye.
Bye, guys. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Yes.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Well, next week is the New Year's meeting.
That's hard to believe. All right. Bye.
All right. Bye.